Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, reading verses 1 through 6. You may follow along on page 690, the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. Listen now for God's word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading for this Epiphany Day comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Let us listen now for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means at least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, it is a new day. Arise and shine, it's a new year. It seems like few New Years have come more welcome than this one. A lengthy and heated election season, terrorist attacks across the globe, Flint, Michigan's water scare, attacks on police officers, racial injustice, a refugee crisis, hurricanes on our coast, not to mention the personal highs and lows we each carry with us. I could easily go on, but we all remember 2016. We only just left it. We lived it together. So happy New Year. Here it is, a clean slate, and here it is that we gather together, seeking God's leading. We begin this new year, as many have before us, in worship to God, to celebrate this revelation of God coming near to us in the Christ child, this Epiphany Day. And we call this this Sunday in the church year, Epiphany. It's an ancient Christian celebration dating at least as far back as the 300s in the early church. This coming Friday is the actual feast day of Epiphany, which also, if you count it up, is the 12th day of Christmas. This word Epiphany comes to us almost directly from the Greek, epi, which means on or upon, and phaneros, which means visible or apparent or manifest. So Epiphany is more than just a light bulb moment or an aha moment. An Epiphany is something that is revealed to you, something where light shines and makes something clear and manifest. And the Magi received this Epiphany for all of us. They saw God made flesh and saw salvation for all people that was to come from that little babe. So who were these wise men and what was their great journey all about? It's interesting to note that their story is only found within the Gospel of Matthew. We go to Luke if we want to see shepherds and angels, but we come to Matthew for the story of these traveling magi. And Matthew was all about connecting these stories as a fulfillment of the Old Testament, connecting it to that Isaiah story we read. And when we think about wise men, we are meant to think of learned men, not Jewish scholars, but intellectually curious foreigners, Gentiles, like a band of scholars is what the Message translates it as. And you know the story. They see the bright star in the sky, which they ascribe to a king or royalty, and they set out to follow that star, which leads them all the way to Jerusalem. We don't really know how far they have come, but we can assume it's quite a distance. And all the way, they are asking this question, where is this child that has been born king of the Jews? We've observed his star rising in the east and have come to pay him homage. And word of their question travels along to King Herod, a ruler who has already murdered several of his own children and his wife, who he has perceived to be threats to his power. He's a bad guy. So when he hears the news, he calls together his own counselors and asks them to help him consider the scriptures and determine that, yes, according to scripture, a ruler of the people is to be born in Bethlehem, and that's not very far away. So Herod then decides to call these wise men in a secret meeting and ask them about this star. He says, okay, I'll direct you on to Bethlehem. And encouraging them in their search, saying, when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and pay him homage. Which, of course, is a lie. So they go to Bethlehem, these magi, still led by that star until it stops over the place where the child was. And the text says they were overwhelmed with joy. And they kneeled before the child and presented him with gifts fit for royalty. Having completed their quest, the text simply says that after having been warned in a dream about Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And all these years later, at the beginning of this new year, what are we to continue to make of this Epiphany? These stories of God at work in people who lived so long ago. One thing to me is very clear in this story. The Savior is not just for Jews, but for all people. Here are Gentiles traveling miles upon miles to worship this newborn king, who was not their king, but was he? God's love and grace and salvation, we come to learn, is for all people. It is ever broadening and inclusive, not exclusive. And that's all well and good. It's a wonderful word. But what does that have to do with us all these years later, for our context, at the beginning of this new year? I like how one theologian put it. The story of these traveling magi is intended to be about us. We are sophisticated, educated, secular types searching for signs of the world's deepest meaning. And I think there's a lot of truth to this. I know as the priesthood of all believers here at Highland, we are committed to engaging in study and asking those really deep questions, always seeking meaning and understanding of the mysteries of life and faith, and then even deeper still. As a fellow traveler journeying together on this road before us of 2017, I offer you these quick thoughts about how the Magi story is about us too. First, look to the light. The light of the star comes from God, not from us. We are not the light. We simply reflect it. Light is a sign of hope, as the sign dawning in the Isaiah passage, "Arise, shine, your light has come," says the prophet. Have you ever seen the sun rise? The sun comes up and it's gradually dispelling the darkness and the fog until suddenly it is shining bright overhead. So not only look to the light, but follow the light where everything is illuminated. And there you will find God. Second, beware of the combination of fear and power. Remember Herod, who ends up not only killing his own family members, but all children under age of 2 in Bethlehem. Paranoid, frightened, he rules tyrannically. Contrast his kingdom of fear and power with that of the vulnerable baby Jesus. Born in a stable, suffers and dies, and is raised in humility and love. And oh yeah, be aware of secret meetings. But here, too, it should also be said that beware the darkness in each of us, the places where we, too, are tempted to give in to fear and exercise power unjustly or in ways that harm, places where we need light. So beware of the combination of fear and power, both out there, but also within our own hearts. Third, be overwhelmed. When these men saw the star, they had stopped over the place where Jesus lay. The wise ones were overwhelmed with joy. It is the season of light and joy. Some of us need to live with more passion. I know I do, and I'm standing in a room full of Presbyterians. By nature and upbringing, we can be reserved and hesitant to throw ourselves into joy. I'm not going to ask you to dance or anything, don't worry. We can so easily be overwhelmed by things that are negative and overwhelming, the things that are not good for us. So why not turn in joy to the things that are positive overwhelmings this new year? Overwhelmings of joy and the love of God in Jesus Christ. So third, be overwhelmed. Fourth, it really is all about worship. You see, for all their sophistication, the wise men ended their journey not in further study, but in worship. They knelt before the baby Jesus and gave their allegiance to him like one would to a king or a lord. Such an act is one to be understood as of mind, heart, and soul, the entire being. So as we look towards 2017 and make a commitment to worship, let us make a commitment to do so with gratitude and relief that our lives are not our own, but that we belong body, mind, and soul to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, give God your best. After their worship, these weary but joyful travelers presented Jesus with their gifts. Gifts of value, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we are asked to do the same. Are we giving our best and costliest gifts to God, be it of time or talent or treasure? What is it that you will give to God in 2017? Are we giving our best? Well, there you have it, five things to take away from this treasured story into our new year together, which really add up to this one question. Are you really seeking life's deepest meaning? If so, I invite you to join this journey, this unlikely journey of Magi and Highland Church, a journey of inquiry and insight, a journey following and living in the light, a journey that is skeptical of fear and power, a journey that begins and ends with overwhelming joy and worship, a journey in which we give our very best to God. My friends, what could be more exhilarating and exciting? So let us journey together this year. Amen.